through with the reading, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Samuel, if you would. 1 Samuel. Amen. I trust you've been praying for the preacher. We surely need the help of the Lord. Amen. I want to begin reading with the 19th verse of the 4th chapter. Breaking in there, I'll give you just a little bit of what we're going to speak about tonight, Lord helping us. If you would stand with us, please, you found the place. 1 Samuel 4 and 19. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law, her husband, was dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pain was upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Our Heavenly Father, tonight again, we realize our inabilities, but oh God, we know there's no limit to what you can do. And we pray this evening hour as we have called upon thee in this day. And our heart, oh God, has been open as we've travailed in prayer and tried to seek the mind of God. And Lord, we believe we have the mind of the Spirit, oh God, and help every individual to be obedient to God this evening. May their hearts be open and receptive, and may they say, Yes, Lord, I will. Whatever it may cost, I'll obey God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Just to bring you up to where we are, some years have passed since Hannah was in the temple praying. And she was praying for a son. Eli, which was the high priest, seen her praying, but there was no words coming from her lips. And he assumed that she had been drinking. That's strange, isn't it? It really doesn't sound like a church-going person to come in and kneel down at an altar and just their lips moving and no sound coming. And then the priest come in or the pastor and say, Get up from there, you've been drinking. That'd be an awful thing, wouldn't it? But Hannah was under such a load that she had gotten beyond words. And I kind of believe that Eli had been slipping just a little bit. You know, it's very easy to begin to slip. If you're not careful, you can slip clear out of the picture and still go along with the profession. And I fear that this was the condition of Eli. Maybe in the high priest, he held one of the highest positions there was in Israel at the time. He had two sons that was under priest. And these two sons were very, very wicked. I think of the story of Hannah as she prayed. She told him, said, I am not. I am praying that God would give me a man child. And she promised the Lord that he would serve in the temple as soon as he was weaned to where he could. So he went away, or she went away, and Things begin to develop in Israel, and Israel was in a terrible battle time after time after time. And she was losing the battle. The Philistines were just taking over, and they were just bombarding them as we would think today. Amen. Where did it all start, preacher? It started there with the high priest. He let down the bars and the sheep got out and the goats come in. Amen, it's true. When you start letting things into the church, friend, that's not compatible with the ways of God, you're headed for trouble. I don't care if it's your mother or daddy or brother or sister or children or wife or husband. You're headed for trouble. Eli was headed for trouble because he was warned of God. Amen. Hannah brought Samuel to the temple after he was born and well weaned, and I don't know exactly the age. Some have told us some age and others have said others, and I really don't know, but I know he was old enough that he was able to care for himself. And the Lord spoke to him. You remember reading that? The Lord spoke to him one night. And he thought it was Eli speaking to him. He thought that Eli, he said, what do you want? He said, I didn't say anything. Well, he said, all right, you know, someone did. Hearing voices, I guess. Have you heard voices lately? Amen. I think it'd be good once in a while if we heard some voices. I was thinking of this passage of Scripture and trying to relate to the thought that God has laid upon our heart. And about four times, I think, God spoke to Samuel. And finally, he told Eli his whole heart because Eli said, if you don't, there'll be trouble. Well, there's already trouble. What he had promised and told Samuel there, he said that this thing is going to make the ears of all Israel tingle. Amen. Now, I've done a little research, and I think I know exactly what he was talking about. But it troubles me that we're living in a day, as I mentioned the other night, I believe it was, that we can hide behind the cloak of religion and profess to know God in His fullness and yet be so empty in our hearts. Amen. And Samuel told Eli what was going to take place and what had already happened. In other words, your children, Eli, are very vile, wicked. They committed an atrocity in the house of God. Unspeakable things. I don't think, friends, that we're so far ahead of that today. I think we're just about in line with that today. And some of the things that I have seen in the work of God today, it troubles me. It really does. And then the battle began to rage. And Eli's two sons went out to battle. And then there was a runner come back, if you remember, and he told the story. He said, your two sons have been killed. But before he told Eli, he went all over the town and told the townsfolk, the battle, we've been defeated. And Eli's two sons are dead. And the prophet said, their ears begin to tingle, the fulfilling of the prophecy of God's word. Amen. And I go down to the scripture that we read tonight. Eli had heard this news last. And the Bible indicates that while he was sitting there, it was too much for him. And he fell over and he died. Now, I've had this question asked me many, many times. Did Eli make it to heaven? Let me encourage you. If you get there and he's not there, don't be disappointed. Now, hang on to your seat. No sin shall enter there. The New Testament writer says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's James 4 and 17. Now, I believe that if I know something is wrong, and I just pat someone on the hand and say, don't do that again. But I don't do any more than that, I'm in danger, friends. I'm in danger. Amen. And there were some things that began to happen there that causes me to believe. And someone made the statement, and one commentator I was reading after, he said that Eli was more concerned about the Ark of the Covenant than he was his own children. Now, that's good in the sense that we can be concerned about the presence of God. Now, that's what the Ark represented, the presence of the Lord. But it amazes me today that we can claim such a high state of grace, and we're not concerned about the welfare and the position that our children hold. Right. We're more concerned about our children having a wonderful job out here, making big money, having a beautiful home. Right. Amen. Right. A boat and a motorcycle and car, truck. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things, folks. Not a thing in the world wrong with those things. I'm not a type of a fellow that says that you can't have anything and be a Christian. As long as you obey God and don't let this take first place in your heart. But I'm fearful that this is what's happening to many, many people. They're letting down the bars. And they're succumbing to the things like Eli did. Let me just kind of demonstrate just a little bit here to you. Eli, he said on the floor, I'm not going to get down there. I may not get up. I'll just assume this is the floor or the couch that Eli was lying on. And he was possibly lying on his elbow. Well, the Bible says he was old and he was heavy. Now, I tried my best. Maybe someone has found it. But the only thing that I gather from this, that he got so lazy and he started gaining so much weight that he couldn't get around. Amen. I don't know how to explain heavy other than that, do you? Unless the Bible would have come out and said he was a fatso. But all those priests and those kings of that day were men that just kind of laid around and munched on grapes and figs and all the goodies, you know. Amen. You can read in history, and I've studied history. I've followed some of this. for many years, and I've tried to locate some things, and some things I've found, some I haven't. But I believe in my heart that we can get so relaxed. Amen. We can feel that we're so secure in our experience that nothing's going to shake us anymore. And we're just relaxing and taking it easy and let the world roll on and the church as well. But we're losing our families. Amen. They're marrying outside of the holiness church. They're getting mixed up with Pentecostalism. Amen. Charismatic movement. I shouldn't have said Pentecostal because you and I are Pentecost. Those that profess to be Pentecost are Corinthians. You can study it if you want to. But you and I have had a Pentecost, thank God. Amen. And if you haven't had one, you need one.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
When the Lord saved me, He saved me from my sins. All of those sins that I willfully committed. But when He sanctified me, I had a Pentecost. Hallelujah, brother. Thank God the fire's still burning. Whew. Amen. Said the cloven tongues of fire was upon their head. And when God sanctified me, it felt like fire upon my head. And it rolled clear down into my soul. Praise God. Amen. Well, to get back to the thought there, I don't know if Eli made it or not, but I wouldn't be disappointed if I got there and found that he wasn't there. Hello? Just like Saul, someone said, do you believe Saul? Do you believe he made it a king of Israel and stood head and shoulder above every man in Israel? And he'd done so many things good. Do you believe that those good things outweighed the bad? No. Again, go to James over there. And when we know something's wrong and we go ahead and do it, we're asking for trouble. Amen. God help us. But the Scripture said tonight, in verse 21 there, and she named the child Ichabod. The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and because of her father-in-law and her husband's death. Ichabod. You know what that means? Inglorious. Inglorious. God is gone. Have you seen people that professed that God was living in their soul? But there was a voidness. There's an emptiness. Amen. I love to hear people testify. I really do. I like to hear them really get on fire and just burn. Oh, thank God. Amen. You know what encourages a pastor? When about four or five jumps up at the same time. Thank God forever. Just like popcorn. But we have gotten today like we're in a barbershop. Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Huh? It's the truth. What's happened to us? I'm not trying to be mean or unkind. I'm just telling us where we're living. We're living there. I had a church that for 3 months I never got to preach. Amen. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost Pilgrim Church down in Tennessee. People just knew enough to mind God. They didn't know any more than to mind God. Hallelujah. They come into church shouting. And I'm not trying to measure everybody but those people. But they had God. And the glory came. Hallelujah. I'd get up there and read my scripture and someone would get to shouting. And for 3 months, brother, maybe even a little longer, God came every service. And I thought I was going to forget how to preach. I never did know much about it, but I thought I was going to know less. Amen. Praise God. We got something in our heart. We need to express it, don't we? Well, I don't want to take your time. You don't bother me, friend. Amen. Praise God. I believe that's what we come to worship the Lord. Amen. And did you know the testimonies many times cause more people to come to God than preachers that are preaching? Amen. And a song that is sung from the depths of a heart is something that would draw an individual to the Lord. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. I can't understand for the life of me some of this modern music that we're having in churches anymore. And it's got such a roll to it, you know. It don't have any good meaning anymore. And the words come in such a way, you know, that they don't sound and have an effect upon us. Come on. Lord, help us. But I want you to note there, Israel was defeated in battle. The priests were slain and the ark of God was taken. Woman seeing nothing more to live for. The pain came upon her and she travailed and she brought forth the child. And the Bible said she named him Ichabod. The glory is departed. Remember, his name means inglorious. I wouldn't name a hound dog Ichabod. Amen. God help us tonight, friend. I want you to look at this for a little while this evening. Knowing what took place there and how that God told Samuel, you inform Eli now what's going to take place and tell him about the things that's going to happen that it's going to cause Israel, that their ears are going to tingle. And brother, we're hearing tingling all over the whole in the circles, I want you to know. I've been out there from east, west, north, south, across the water, wherever you can think of, friend. And I find it so prevalent today that people are saying, you know, it's just not the same like it used to be. It just isn't working. And you know, that's why so many of us have chosen to go another way. Huh? And we're losing our crowd, friend. We're losing our crowd. Oh, you say, well, we're not. Well, you, thank God you're fortunate. If you're not, you're fortunate. Amen. You know what's happening? The charismatic movement's coming in with a lot of this. And it's attracting the young folk. Just about like Elvis Presley did back there when he had that rock and roll. Amen. And we don't say nothing about it. We don't preach against it anymore. And everybody's doing it. James, don't you know everybody's doing it? I'm not. Right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's happening. We're losing our crowds. They're joining up with something that's, they say, oh, it's so exciting. I had my secretary in my church some years ago after I left. I knew something was wrong. I knew something was wrong when I left the church. And I thought, oh, God, don't let something happen to that girl. And I came back after some years back in the area. We'd been out, I think, about 14 years. And we came back in the area where we were at. And I asked about a certain individual. And they said, oh, she joined the charismatic movement. And that got too rough for her, so then she went to the Jehovah's Witness. Now here was a lady that was saved and sanctified, but she began to kind of get a little at ease in Zion. Well, it's not necessary to pray about some things. There's no reason for us to get excited over this. Just take it easy. And she's lost tonight. Are you catching on? And that's what's happening in our church world all over the country. People are just relaxing. It'll work its way out. Eli no doubt felt, well, the boys, they'll come around. They're young and they're full of vim and vigor and vitality and the devil. Amen. And I've seen this in the holiness circles where preachers were so deceptive. Amen. I'm not trying to just down our preachers, but brother, we got some rotten fellows out there. Amen. I've had them to even say something like this, how much does the revival pay? And sometimes they'll send ahead and say, we'll come for this much. I don't want you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That's the way I feel. I'm not in this thing for popularity. I'm not in it for the finance. You've got to have a little to live. But friend, if that's all there is in it, you might as well close up and shut up shop. Amen. If there's no more concern in the heart of an individual than that, something is wrong when we become so relaxed that we say we've got to have this or that or the other. God wants us to be faithful. He'll take care of the other. Hallelujah. A battle was on, raging. And the runner came. Oh, your boys are dead. It's too late to try to help them when they're dead. Mom, Dad, help them now. Right now is the time to help them. While they're still on this side of eternity. Come on. I thought about this precious young people last night. I drove home and I still was weeping. Oh God, if you can just save a few and sanctify just a few of them, it'll be worth everything in the world if you can just establish a few of those. That down the road somewhere, they say, I refuse to bow to the images and the idols of Baal. Amen. I will not succumb. Oh, I refuse to let the devil defeat me. If they can just a few of them say that with a determination. Right. Folks, we'll have a church, thank God, that will be on fire. Amen. Oh, Lord, help me. Look at the picture today, if you would. Church of the day. Missions, camp meetings. Old time blessings gone. We used to have an amen corner, you know. Well, this will be good. We had several up here hollering amen, sick them, pour them on. Praise the Lord. Some of the old churches back years ago when I was just started out, they had about 6 or 8 old timers up here, and brother, I tell you, it was easy to preach, and they would just say, come on, come on, amen, amen. You start saying something, you know, before you get it out, they say, amen, that's true, and I didn't even say it. They knew what I was going to say. Amen. Shout you right on through. Now, if you get an amen from the whole congregation, you're real fortunate. Amen. True. God help us, folks. Lord, help me. Amen. Old time blessings gone, friend. Amen. No more travailing in prayer anymore. No more agonizing with God and seeking for the soul to be saved. Oh, we're satisfied with the luxury and with the finery. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't get too at ease. Amen. I built a little church over in Crawford County. I was there. The boys done most of the work. I tried to help engineer it. And we was in a little place a lot worse than this one over here. The roof had already swayed 18 inches. And I had coming this way. And I thought, any time she's going to cave in. I said, folks, we're not moving because we want to. We're moving because we have to. Of necessity. But I made a statement to them. I said, if this will cause you to lose God, I'd rather stay there and prop it up. But it never. It never caused it. They still shouted anyway. Praise God. They still shouted, praise the Lord. Give God the glory. How many times I've heard them say, thank you, Lord, for being so good to us and giving us a good place to worship that's not falling in on us. Didn't have to worry about the snakes crawling in where the door or floor give loose from the side walls. And the snakes would crawl up underneath the carpet and we'd tuck it back under so that the women couldn't see it. They wouldn't sit on that side. All you had to do is say, I had an opening over here last night and everybody'd move over here. Now, if there wasn't room, you had to scoot over. Amen. We called it SOS. Scoot over some. Amen. Let me go a little further here. Family altar. I mentioned this other night. It's almost a lost art, isn't it? Now I know there's times I'm so tired that I said, Lord, please forgive me. Because I'd probably just bless the dinner. Rather than praying, I'm so tired. Amen. But Lord, I promised in the morning, I'll be faithful to the place of prayer. And the Lord say, you need your rest, son. I really believe. You believe that?
Sure.
I was praying and working on a church some years ago, and I was a young man working 10 hours on the job, and then we'd work on the church, and I'd work to... Oh, my, we'd work up maybe 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was so tired, I just dragging in and dragging out, and before the pastor got there that night, after I got off from work, and I was down in the basement praying, and I woke up saying, Lord, bless this cornbread. And I told the pastor, I said, Brother Philip, I said, I'm going home. He said, what's the matter? I said, I need to rest. There's times you need to rest. But that don't mean all the time. Amen. Well, you don't understand my position. You don't understand. God does. I don't have to. God knows. Amen. And He knows all about you and I. And I believe that He can direct our lives if we will allow Him to. Praise the Lord. Now I want to get into the message. That's just the introduction. I promise if you will mind the Lord, I'll do my best to be brief and I'll give you this in a hurry. I want to look at this for a little while. I'd like to paraphrase this name, Ichabod. Amen. Bless His name. If you would allow us tonight, I believe that God would help us to understand something about Ichabod. And I thought, as I was in preparation, I said, Lord, what does it really mean? And He said, there's a lot of things that it means, but this will be fine. And I said, what about the letter I here stands for idleness in Ichabod's name. How many people are idle today that needs to be active rather than idle? Amen. That's the reason we've become slothful, inconsistent. Amen. And then if we're not careful, we'll wind up like Eli and lying back and getting old and just heavy. Amen. Idleness. Settle down. Oh, we've finally located ourselves. Oh, isn't that wonderful? We've finally arrived to the place where we believe that we're secure now and we don't have to worry anymore. Honey, I don't believe we ever get there. I believe there's always room for improvement and moving up.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, may God help us. I thought here, no burden anymore. Vision is gone. Zeal of bygone days are gone. Did you know this was the iniquity of Sodom, the pride and the fullness of bread? Pride. We don't need God. We got everything we need. Everything we need, we have it. Now, don't you misunderstand me tonight, friend. I am drawing Social Security. I thank God for it. Amen. And there's people that has to go beyond that. That they have to depend on the government to help them in different areas. I understand that. But when we just say, I don't want to work because I don't need to, you're asking for trouble. Now get quiet on me and I'll start locating you. Amen. And let the Lord dislocate you. Amen. Praise God. I'm trying to take it easy so you can understand. Praise the Lord. Abundance of idleness. It brings a haughty life. An abomination. Before God. Abundance of idleness. I used to be a union man. I helped organize Douglas Aircraft Incorporation in Tennessee. I told the fellas then, I said, boys, be careful. Because we can just kind of put ourselves right out of a job if we're not careful. They said, but oh, Ben, we're gonna strike for California wages. I said, you'll strike and you'll have Tennessee welfare. Amen. And they struck. And they stayed 2 years. And then the men went on welfare. They didn't have to. They didn't have to stay there. If they're going to pay that kind of wages in Tennessee, California wages, they can go back to California. Why bring all the equipment that way? Huh? I tried to explain, friend, but did you know we're getting to the place today that we want to work 6 hours and get paid 10 for it?
Right.
An abundance of idleness.
Right.
And it's destroying America today. It's destroying the church, friend. We don't have time to worship God because we got to go here and we got to go there. We got to go to this camp, you know. Not church camp I'm talking about. I'm talking about those leisure camps. Amen. I said, fella, come. I said, how about coming down? I said, we're in meeting. I won't tell you where it was. Run too far from here. I said, come on down. He used to be a church member of mine in another church of years gone by. And I said, come on down, Ken. I said, and join with us in the service. And I said, man, we're having a time. Come on down. He said, well, preacher, if I can't find anything else to do, I'll come down. He must have found something. He never showed up. He was about unfaithful when I pastored him as a hog would be to coming into the church and profess two works of grace and had more money than anybody in the church.
and is always complaining because he didn't have anything. Hello? Amen. God help us. Abundance of idleness. You didn't know Ichabod had so much about his name, did you? Oh, that's not even a start, friend. But then I looked at the letter C. It could stand for compromise. Now, the devil won't tell you, come on down, let's go down and drink. He knows I won't drink. Come on, here's a pack of cigarettes. Take it. He knows I won't smoke. But I'll go down and I'll see my friend, you know. And how you doing, brother? Scoot over there. I want to sit down beside of you. Amen. That's good. Praise the Lord. Did you see that last movie they were showing on the TV?
No, I didn't.
Well, you don't have a TV. Well, good. That's wonderful. But did you know there's a lot of people goes to his buddies to watch television, but he won't have one in his own house?
I've heard that.
Oh, yes. I know that. Amen. Did you know one of the leading evangelists in America? Hang on to your hat. Oh, this get kind of close. I won't tell who it is, but I know, and God knows. Some of them are so sneaking and rotten. If you find out anything about me, you tell it all over the country. I don't care. I need to be exposed. Amen. I want you to expose me. I need to stop. But these fellas, especially this one, he don't only do things wrong, he lies about it. Oh, my. How would you like to call an evangelist and found out that on Sunday he drove across the interstate and the turnpike and paid toll on the Lord's day? Oh, brother, watch. You know, the Lord understands some things. You know, we're in the will of the Lord. We're in the work. We got to get there. Don't schedule so tight. That's what I tell him. I should leave a couple of days there. You don't have to schedule so tight. Amen. You know, I don't think too many of us are in demand. Amen. Some of these fellows, you know, they walk around like they own the world. Brother, I'm in demand, you know. Oh, praise God. I don't know what they are. Amen. Brother, watch you. You want to be careful. I'm trying my best. It's all I can do to keep telling you who it is. Amen. God knows, though. Compromise. You know, Satan captures a lot of people right here. Oh, he don't want you to compromise on big things because he knows you won't do it. But just some little old frivolous thing, he wants you to start compromising just a little here and a little there. And the children are, well, they didn't want to come to the revival, so I told them it'd be all right if they went down with the kids, you know, and they done whatever they was going to do. But it wasn't in church. Amen. Here's $5. You can go ahead and take your girl out. Take her to the movie if you want. That's all right. Don't tell nobody. Amen. Come on. I'm on the right line, friend. I waited on him, and he said, this is it. And I said, all right, Lord, they'll get it if you want it to. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do, mind him. Praise God. Don't preach the radical dress question anymore. Let them just go like they want to go. Let me say something right here. We're getting awful flimsy on our clothing. Amen. I seen some young girls come into to a camp meeting not long ago. And I said, there's something wrong. You've got your slip on the outside. That's what it looked like. Little old flimsy thing on the outside, and they come prancing in to make it wave, you know, and flow. Huh? I tell you, folks, it's dangerous.
Yes, sir.
Mom, we need to cut down on it. One lady came to me, and I'd preach it, and she came to me with tears in her eyes. She said, "Brother Watts, do you think that my girls had that kind of clothes?" I said, "They sure did." I said, "They did." She said, "Bless God, they'll never wear it again. I'll throw it in the trash." I said, "That's exactly where it needs to be."
Right, man.
Huh? All it did was draw attention.
Right.
Hmm?
Amen.
Now, ladies, I'm not just picking on you. We got some men that's just as bad.
Yes, sir.
Wear those girly blouses, you know, frills in the front.
Amen.
Lord, help us, friend. God, help us. It seems like we're just succumbing to it. And, oh, Brother Watts, everybody else is doing it. Huh? I'm trying to let it soak in. Take your time and be holy. Praise God. Lord, help me. Oh, just compromise just a little. You know, they're just small children. It really doesn't matter about them because one day they'll grow up and then they'll be rebellious because you didn't tell them when they were little.
That's right.
Mama, how come you didn't say anything when I was growing up and all the girls in my class is wearing this and Mommy, I just feel out of place. And mother will compromise and say, "All right, honey, mother really loves you." No, she don't. If she lets her daughter compromise, she don't love her daughter. Come on now, amen. God help us tonight, friend. Compromise with a husband or wife or children, which I've already said. Compromise with sinning religion. Oh, yeah. Go to places where you know you can be at ease and not get hit. Amen.
Right.
Well, if a fella can't stir me, I don't want him around.
Right.
Amen. Can I share something with you? I've went to the altar under my own preaching. The Lord said, "What about that, son?" I said, "Lord, I need to pray." And I just went stepped off and, "What's wrong with Brother Watts?" I said, "Any of you folks like to pray with me? I need some prayer right now before I finish my message." Come on. God began to reveal something to me, and I said, "Lord, I've let down there, and I don't want to do it. I want to hold firm, thank God. I want to be what you want me to be. I want you to know, friend, this is not a play thing. It's not something to toy with. We're either going with God or we're not going with God. We've got to make it to heaven. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something to go to heaven. You can't get there on roller skates. God, have mercy on us, friend. Oh, my. Compromise caused Balaam to lose his soul, as I said the other night. A mule had more sense than Balaam did. God, help us. How true it is. Brother Gibson, we've gone so far that we feel like we can't do no wrong anymore. Huh?
Amen.
I tell you, I was brought up, you know, when Sunday come, that all the toys was put away. If you didn't have nothing else to do, you went to bed. Amen. You didn't even read literature that wasn't religious. Well, now, boy, we've gone a long ways, haven't we? Yeah, we sure have. Amen. Oh my, there's a lot to be said right there, but I better hurry. Let's notice the next letter, the letter H. I wonder what it could stand for. Maybe for hypocritical or hypocrisy. Amen. Job said the triumph of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment.
Job 20 and 5. Just for a moment, he said. Did you know what a hypocrite is? It's one missing that pretends to be what he is not. Man, I've seen them. I've seen them, and they strut around like a peacock, you know. And they were the only ones that thought they were something. The rest of us are sick. God have mercy on us, friends. Let's be careful. I looked at that a while and I thought, yes, not only that, pretend to enjoy what they do not. Not only that, but pretend to stand for what he does not stand for. Right. But when he's with the crowd that's kind of lean, he's lean also. But when he's with the other crowd, he's just kind of, you know, fits right in the groove. Amen. Anybody ever hear of James Irwin? Anybody know James Irwin? He's an old-fashioned Holy Ghost preacher out of eastern Ohio. Loved God with all of his heart. Went out west and he came back, and I never knew James ever do this before, but James come back and he was wearing cowboy boots. He said the most comfortable boots that he ever put on his feet. I don't doubt that. It looked comfortable to me. Amen, unless you get too high-heeled, you know. But anyway, asked James one day, said, James, how do you act when you're in a religious church when it's all noisy? He said, bless God, I'm noisy. I said, James, how do you act when you get in a steel church? He said, I'm still noisy. Thank God. I believe we ought to have a determination in our heart that we're going to mind God regardless of where we're at. Woo! I say hallelujah. We can obey God and God will benefit us. We'll rejoice in His presence. Don't be a hypocrite about it, friend. You're either in or out. Oh, I pray you're in. I pray you're in. God have mercy. Oh, look at the letter A. It stands for adultery. Oh my, I don't even like this one. Unfaithfulness of marriage to the marriage bed. I was reading some statistics the other day, and it's about 4 out of 5. Are you listening? 4 out of 5 that's mixed up in a mixed marriage, adultery. Amen. Amen. Oh, hi, preacher. Come in. Is this your little girl? No. Well, I know it's not. Who's all these children? Well, this is Susie Carter, and this is Johnny Jackson, and this is Helen Hadford. And who's the daddy? Well, I don't know their daddies. I had one family, had I think 4 children. They all had different names, same mommy, but they didn't know really which fellow was their daddy. Amen. And then some of them be married 2 and 3 times. Hello. Amen. Start chalking now, so I won't slip back. I'll take another step. Chalk me. Praise God. Amen. Get good footing when you got your chalk all right. Amen. We're living there. Brother, what you don't understand how my wife treated me, brother. I have every right in the world to leave her. You just don't realize what she's done to me. What'd you do to her? You probably caused it. Amen. And then the next thing you get, you do the same thing. But brother, she's worse than the other one. Now listen, honey, if you can't make it with one, you better leave the second one alone unless the first one's dead.
Amen. Because you're going to be in more trouble than you can shake a stick at. Amen. God help us. I'm talking about Ichabod. I wouldn't want to have that name because it's too much connected to him. Amen. Did you know, friend, that there's more divorce? I mentioned this other night. More divorce in the newspaper that they filed for divorce than there are marriages. And brother, we're just sitting back to him. Well, brother, I believe in the innocent party. I do too. I want you to know I believe in it. And that's the precious little children. But mom and dad are not innocent. Hello? Not as quite as loud as you was last night. You're thinking. It'll help us to think. Praise God. We might get located if we let the Lord help us. Praise His name. But then let's look at another letter there. Let's look at B. It could stand for biting and devouring. Not me, preacher. Too much wrangling, confusion among Christians, that sinners are at a standstill and they don't know which way to go or who to believe.
Right.
Brother, did you know? Did you know this lady over here? Did you know this lady over here? You know, she thinks she owns Jack Robinson's barn. No, I didn't mean that wrongly, sister. I don't believe you'd feel that way. But then you may look over and say, did you know he cheats on his income tax? Tell everybody you see he cheats on his income tax. I don't think you would, do you? And then, why, James, I thought he was a Christian.
Me too.
Amen. Well, I'm confused. Who am I to believe? Why, Brother Gordon, you said you love God and you've let down some standards. I hope not. Who am I to believe, Brother Jeff? Who am I to believe?
Right.
Where am I going to go? I want to help, but there's no one I can turn to. Everybody seems to have something wrong with them. Let me tell you something. There's not an individual in this church that don't have something wrong with them. Except me. Do you hear? Ha, 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 she said. Brother, we all do. We all have our shortcomings. Amen. We're striving constantly and continually for perfection. We're not angelic. We can make... I've made more... Listen, if I make mistakes, it's from the head, not the heart. Amen. I don't mean to make them, but oh, it's an old head. It's not my heart, friend. For I don't want to deceive an individual. I don't want to cause a soul to miss heaven. I'm not going all over this country beating my brains out and losing sleep and driving hundreds and thousands of miles to just to play church. I'm not in it for that. I'm not in this thing as a play toy.
Right.
I want to see people saved. Thank God when I get to heaven. Hallelujah. I want to rejoice with those that's made it in.
Amen.
Oh, I want to have just a few to place at the feet of the Lord. Say, Lord, I've helped these to get in. Thank God I had the opportunity to help them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, brother, I don't do that. I don't bite and devour and carry on. But yet, there's teeth marks on them. Amen. A friend of ours is going down the road when they had his children all young and they were driving down the road, and he had some boys in the back seat, and one of them was punching at the baby. The wife said, "Pull over, Daddy. Something's wrong with the boy." So the daddy kind of looked in the mirror, you know, and he's watching, and he seen the boy touch him, and Now be careful. You can blame people for the wrong things. So what are you doing to that child? "I'm not doing nothing, Daddy." He really wasn't. He was just trying. He seen he was wiggling, squirming. He's trying to help him. You know, something wrong. He couldn't tell what was wrong. Amen. So finally, the daddy took all he could do, you know, and he just, that's the reason I don't have any hair now. My children, you sit in the back seat of the car, and I look back in the sitting back seat, you know, and here they was. I said, "Here's Daddy's notes. Let's destroy half of them." I said, "Go ahead. I know it by heart anyway." And they said, "Oh, the joy was gone." They pulled over the side of the road, and the mother got out, and she looked at the baby and said, "I don't see nothing. What have you been doing?" "I haven't done nothing. Well, there's something wrong." And the husband said, "Pull its diaper down, see if it's messed." Now, there's two things that can cause a baby to cry. That's legitimate. Have a dirty diaper or be hungry. Now, there used to be three. Or a pen was sticking it, but we don't use these no more. We use the throwaways. Or they do, you, whoever. We use the old cloth diaper. But anyway, the mother pulled that little diaper down, and there was a yellow jacket in there stinging that little fella. "Ow!" And every time that brother would touch it, he thought something wrong with it. "Ow!" It stinged him again. Be careful how you judge things. After you got rid of the wasp, everything was all right. I think a lot of us maybe needs to have a wasp in our trousers. Amen. God help us tonight. O stands for overcharged hearts. We're still on Ichabod. Jesus said, "Take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of life, so that that day come upon you unaware." Amen. Oh, we're there, aren't we? Amen. Too many have let the thorns of the world and the business cares of life to choke the spiritual life out of them. Amen. I like to see people get ahead. I really do. I enjoy seeing them get ahead. I got a brother, my baby brother. At one time, he was worth a lot of money. I don't know how much. But I suppose he could one time wrote you a check for $500,000 and never missed it. Amen. He was in a business. And someone said, "He's dishonest." There wasn't a dishonest bone in his body, and he wasn't even a Christian. He'd rather give than to take. You know what caused the people seeing the honesty in his heart, and he got so much business he had to add employees. And finally, it got to the place that he was paying $7,000 a week to his employees. And then Jesus came into his heart. He never paid tithe in his life. But when the Lord spoke to him and said, "Now, Roger, you're going to have to pay tithe." He said, "Lord, how much is it?" He said, 10%. "I'll let you off with that." Amen. 10%? Lord, that's a lot of money. I pay my employees $7,000 a week.
And if I'm going to have to pay 10% on that plus what I've got, man, that's going to be a chunk. I could live on that for a while. Amen. You know? And after the Lord said, well, that's what it says, and that's my command, he just took out his checkbook and wrote it out and dropped it in the pan. Can you imagine what that treasurer done when, whoa, they've been a mistake. Did you make a mistake? Brother Roger, did you make a mistake? Why? Well, this. No, he said, that's right. Oh, she said, I've never seen so much in my life. Huh? Amen. And if everybody would mind God, instead of biting and devouring and fussing and carrying on and being overcharged with the cares and the sufferings of life and obey God, we could see God manifested among us and we could see the Shekinah glory fall. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't say this because I'm an evangelist, but I know some evangelists had to pull off in the field right now. Amen. That's the truth. They're pulling out. They can't take it.
Amen.
Now, I'm not pushing for money. I don't care less if you give me a dime. I've got enough to get home. Hallelujah. Amen. I told some fellas the other day, I said, well, I got so much grass over there, I think I'll put me up a sign out here. Free grass. And they're so gullible over in Crawford County, they'd think it was dope. They'd come and get every bit of it. I'd make a fortune, Brother Jeff. Amen. God help us. Amen. But listen, friend, we're getting to the place, and I trust you're not like that we become so chintzy. We count out our tithe to the very penny, and if it happens to look like much, we'll stick that penny back and say, well, that's enough. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. I believe the Bible speaks against something like that. Overcharged with the suffering and drunken cares of life, so that day you come up when you're unaware. Listen to it. So many preoccupy themselves with so-called legitimate things that they lose sight of what God has commanded. But Lord, I've got to do this. And I just barely have enough. When the Lord say me, oh, why I'm on this? Everybody paying their tithe around here? Amen. Now, when I take my glasses off, I can't see you too good, so you can just kind of frown if you want to. A lot of you are looking fuzzy. You haven't changed either when I look in the glasses. Still fuzzy. God help us.
Amen.
Amen. Lord help me. But we allow these things to choke out spirituality. Choke out that glory that you had. One fellow said, when I was only making $70 a week, he said $7 wasn't bad. But when I got up to $500 a week, wow, that kind of hurt. When I got up to a little more, it even hurt worse. What'd you do? He said, I just let it hurt and kept on paying. Praise God. I believe that's what it's going to take. Obey God if it hurts. Hallelujah. Oh, sometimes it hurts, Brother Jeff. But I say, Lord, just help me. And thank God, if you don't want to pull the thorn, help me to bear it. Amen. And God will give us grace to bear it, friend. Amen. Some of us have got thorns and we've just, well, I better get on. I'm going to try to close here in just a little bit. Amen. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You see what the life of a fella cost? Old dad out there, when he failed to make his boy's mind. Did you know what they did? They committed adultery in the church. Look it up. They committed adultery in the church. That wasn't just looking on either. And they begin there. And folks, if we're not careful, we can let little things creep in and just kind of overlook it because, well, it's little Johnny or little Susie or little Corinth or whoever they may be. But then the last one is the letter D. Stand for disobedience. This is called many a downfall. Amen. Adam and Eve knew what to do, but they didn't do it. Don't you touch that fruit. That's not permitted. Amen. And I'm not saying this in a disrespectful way, friend, but Eve was the weaker of the pair. Amen. The Bible teaches that. And I think sometimes we listen to our wives, it might help us a little bit. Amen, ladies. But the Bible declares they're the weaker sect. And Eve was weak. And the tempter came. And he began to say, you know God. He's too good. He wouldn't let you be lost. Can you just imagine the devil saying that? I've seen him taunt young people. Go ahead and go down. Well, the skating ring is rented just for Christians. And if you're a Christian girl and you have on a skirt and you happen to fall, is that Christian? Hello? Did you ever hear of lock-ins? Some of our colleges got lock-ins. Nobody allowed but just us Christians. But everybody that says they're Christian is not a Christian. It's not him that saith, but it's him that doeth the will of the Lord. And we're finding that this thing is causing problems. With the little dark corners. And sneak over here. Nobody can see us over here. Let's just talk a little bit. How about you? Oh, yeah. You're sweet. And then the pastor gets up and says, isn't it just glorious how our young people are getting along together? And I said, I feel sick because he knows the rotten, good-for-nothing fella knows what they're doing. Amen. God's trying to help us, friend. I've never heard it on this fashion, preacher. Well, that's what they said to Jesus. But it stands for disobedience. Adam and Eve lost Eden because of a disobedient heart. And folks, a lot of people are going to lose God because of disobedience. God says, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you unto myself. And a lot of people are just hanging on saying, well, I don't think he means me. He means John over there. Moses lost Canaan because he did what God told him not to do. He said, speak to the rock. And he went over and struck it. And he said, Lord, it's because the people had me aggravated. That's true. Look at it. They provoked him. And he struck it out of anger. And the Lord took him up on the mountain and showed him what he was missing. Going over into Canaan. Someone said he missed heaven. No, he missed Canaan. He missed Canaan. Canaan, you know, is a type of a sanctified life. Huh? They still battles over in Canaan. But when you get to heaven, the battle's over. There's no more battle, thank God. Amen. Someone said the gates will click behind us. No! Thank God there'll be no danger the gates are clicking. We don't need no protection. God is the light, and He's our protection. Hallelujah. But Solomon lost his kingdom. Saul and Lot and his wife lost their soul because of disobedience. And I believe in my heart, unless some around the Holiness Church begin to do some, make some amends in their life, they're going to be lost. Are you listening to me? You may fool a lot of people, but you can't fool God. He knows where we're at. He knows exactly where we stand. I close with that thought tonight. I want you to stand with us, please.